This is DW News live from Berlin. The new coronavirus variant Omicron is detected in more countries as scientists assess the scale of the threat. Dutch authorities confirmed 13 cases among passengers from South Africa, and governments around the world tighten travel restrictions. Also coming up, Swiss voters support the government's pandemic response plan by a clear majority. The referendum comes amid a spike in new coronavirus cases. And the EU toughens its stance on people smuggling in the English Channel. There'll be more surveillance of migrants attempting to cross from France to Britain. I'm Amian Isif. Welcome. More countries have reported cases of the new Omicron variant of the coronavirus. France is the latest to join the list after its health agency announced it had detected what it thinks is Omicron in 8 people who traveled from South Africa. Scientists do not yet know whether Omicron is more infectious or deadly than previously known variants, but uncertainty surrounding the variant has already triggered several countries to ban travel from South Africa, where Omicron was first reported to the WHO.
Just as the world appeared to be opening up, borders are closing once again. Omicron, the new coronavirus variant, has grounded air travel and threatens to force a return to tougher pandemic restrictions.
My parents were deathly ill, you know, so I had to come back when the borders were open to come and see them. And now, you know, only to realize, well, it's happening all over again.
Omicron has stoked fears and sparked questions like what will happen next to freedoms and economies, and how will vaccines stand up to what the World Health Organization calls a variant of concern.
At the terminal, you'll be waiting for the test return results.
Since its discovery in southern parts of Africa last week, flights from that part of the world have been canceled or delayed. For example, in the Netherlands, 2 plane loads of passengers were detained and tested. Of those 600 travelers, 61 tested positive for the coronavirus, with 13 contracting the new variant. The infected are being kept in isolation. To all those people who come from a high-risk country and all the countries in southern Africa that have been added to the list, they are obligated to go into quarantine. At this point, the global response is to slow Omicron spread. Mask mandates are back in the United Kingdom. And France has banned flights from some African countries, reopened 300 vaccination centers, and is focused on testing and tracing, all with the hope that Omicron can be contained without prolonging the nearly 2-year COVID-19 pandemic.
Meanwhile, South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa says he wants travel bans to his country urgently lifted, describing them as, quote, unjustified, given the clinical evidence about the new variant at the moment.
We are deeply disappointed by the decision of several countries to prohibit travel from a number of southern African countries, including our own, following the identification of the Omicron variant. Now, these restrictions are completely unjustified and unfairly discriminate against our country and our southern African sister countries. The prohibition of travel is not informed by science, nor will it be effective in preventing the spread of this variant.
Earlier, we spoke to our correspondent Adrian Krisch in Cape Town and asked him what South Africa is doing to contain its outbreak of the Omicron variant.
So Ramaphosa addressed the nation tonight, and most people here thought that he would impose further restrictions. But that, to the surprise of many, did not happen. Today I was in town and I saw several liquor stores here where people quickly went to buy more alcohol, because in the past, when Ramaphosa came up with new restrictions, we saw several liquor bans. So the sale of alcohol was banned. This did not happen. We're still staying on alert level 1, the lowest alert level since the beginning of the coronavirus crisis here. So it is is a surprise. Nonetheless, we have to recall that there are restrictions still in place here. Ever since the beginning of the pandemic, South Africa has had a night curfew, for example, from midnight to 4 a.m. at the moment, and also mass gatherings are restricted. So there are restrictions in place, but life is still kind of like normal here. In the past 2 months, if you go outside, you will not have a feeling that we're in a pandemic, because the infection rates were very low in the past 2 months here. Life got back to normal, but now we're seeing worrisome signs that the numbers are going up again. So the fourth wave is starting here, and we don't know how hard it's going to hit the country. Nobody knows. Some are hoping that the summer that is currently starting will help to leave the numbers not so high. But on the other hand, South Africa can't count on its vaccination program. The vaccination rates here are very low. 25% of the population have been vaccinated so far. There's a lot of vaccine hesitancy here.
Well, voters in Switzerland have approved their government's pandemic response plan by a clear majority in a referendum. The legislation steps up restrictions for entering restaurants, bars, and public gatherings. COVID-19 cases have been rising sharply in recent weeks, but opponents of the measures made their voices heard ahead of the vote.
It was a first for the Swiss police, guarding the parliamentary building during a referendum. The vote has polarized the nation. One of the biggest questions was whether restaurant guests should have to show proof of vaccination, recovery, or a negative COVID-19 test result. 62% of the Swiss voted yes.
We're happy about the result and the approval for our COVID-19 measures and our fight against fake news.
Those opposed to the legislation have been making their voices heard loud and clear in recent weeks. They say the measures are basically a hidden vaccine mandate and that the state is becoming too powerful. Especially German speakers in the countryside voted against the initiative.
It's about our freedom. And not just about the vaccination.
It's such a divisive issue. It's splitting families and friends. Support for a separate initiative strengthened the position of healthcare workers. They can now look forward to higher salaries, better training, and above all, better working conditions. There's not enough attention being paid to how much time it takes to care for patients. I'd like to emphasize that. Now the government has to make the necessary changes, regardless of how much it costs.
France's minister for overseas territories is on his way to Martinique and Guadeloupe following days of violent protests on the Caribbean islands. The French government has promised a firm response to the unrest there. Local opposition to COVID-19 measures imposed by Paris is adding to historic grievances over representation and living standards.
The smoldering aftermath of a gas station set on fire by protesters in Martinique, an attack that could have been deadly.
There are people around here who don't want to be killed. I don't know what these kids are thinking. Setting a gas station on fire like a bomb, that's going too far.
Martinique and Guadeloupe have been gripped for days by heated clashes between protesters and police. The protests are being fueled by opposition to France's coronavirus policies, including mandatory vaccination for healthcare workers. Martinique and Guadeloupe are both overseas departments of France, administrative units subject to the same laws governing the mainland. Paris has already pushed back its deadline for the island's healthcare workers to be vaccinated. But for many, the issue is a reminder they have limited say over their own affairs.
We're fighting for our rights here in Martinique. The person who is supposed to represent us, the prefect, says he has no control over things. There has to be someone who can speak directly to Emmanuel Macron.
Trade unions on the islands have also been on strike over inequality in living conditions. France's Minister for Overseas Affairs has suggested greater autonomy is something that Paris would be willing to consider.
Let's turn now to some of the other stories we're following for you this hour. A strong earthquake has struck northern Peru. The epicenter of the 7.5 magnitude quake was in a sparsely populated area in the country's Amazon region. It injured several people and caused damage to some roads and homes. A medieval church was also partly damaged. Thousands of people have rallied in Belgrade to protest the high levels of air pollution in Serbia. The demonstrators called on the government to change its policies to cut CO2 emissions. They also accused authorities of allowing foreign investors, particularly from China, to cause further damage to the environment. The European Union is preparing to deploy a surveillance plane over the English Channel to monitor crossings by migrants. The announcement follows a meeting of France, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Germany in the French port of Calais. They discussed the growing number of migrants who are attempting to cross the channel in small dinghies. The gathering was canceled after 27 migrants died when their boat sank last week between France and the UK. Britain was not represented at the meeting in Calais after Paris accused London of, quote, not being serious about stopping the migrants. Earlier, DW's Barbara Wesel gave us this assessment of their talks.
The main results really were that the fight against traffickers is now really supposed to be intensified. The four countries that share the coast in the north here are supposed to work together. Their police are supposed to work together and really take action, because this has been for years going on under the noses of the police forces, of the authorities, and of course of the citizens in those areas close to the channel. Now that is one result. The other is that we are all going to see here is a Frontex plane. That's the EU border agency that'll sort of fly up and down the coast and try to give intelligence to those police forces, observe where migrants congregate, observe where maybe traffickers can be seen who are unloading these RIP boats from their cars, in order then to push these migrants onto the boats and sort of send them on their dangerous way. So those are the main results, but of course this will remain on the table. More talks will follow.
Well, in the Bundesliga, Leverkusen visited RB Leipzig on Sunday, knowing a win would lift them up to third in the table. Leipzig have had a difficult season under new coach Jesse Marsch and were hoping to avoid back-to-back defeats, but their opponents were simply too hot to handle.
Leverkusen arrived in Leipzig hoping to solidify their place in the top four of the Bundesliga table. Their hosts, meanwhile, have looked a pale version of themselves so far this season. And Leipzig got off to a bad start here, as Florian Wirtz put the visitors ahead after 21 minutes. The 18-year-old with a composed finish following a sumptuous Ezequiel Palacios pass. Things went from bad to worse for Leipzig 13 minutes later. Moussa Diaby with the finish to make it 2-0 to Leverkusen. The Frenchman with a wonderful touch to give himself space to score. Leipzig came out fighting in the second half, Andre Silva halving the deficit, the Portuguese striker making it 2-1 after 62 minutes. But the hope was short-lived. Just 2 minutes later, Jeremy Frimpong made it 3-1. His shot had more than a little help from this Angelino deflection. And the result was confirmed when a botched Dominic Szoboszlai penalty in the 88th minute cooled any chances of late drama. Leverkusen take all 3 points to move up to third in the table.
Let's take a look at all of the results on match day 13. Well, there's Leverkusen's win. Bayern and Dortmund were also victorious. Elsewhere, Hertha Berlin and Augsburg drew. Cologne hammered Gladbach in a local derby. Bochum beat Freiburg, and Hoffenheim thrashed Fürth. On Friday, Stuttgart beat Mainz. In Sunday's action, Frankfurt won 2-1 at home to Union Berlin. Well, hundreds of people gathered in the center of Berlin to celebrate the start of the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. The ceremony in front of the city's Brandenburg Gate featured the lighting of a 10-meter-high menorah, believed to be the biggest in Europe. The event was also a chance to promote tolerance and stress the need to eradicate anti-Semitism in Germany and Europe. The festival is celebrated by Jewish people around the world and lasts for 8 days. You're watching DW News from Berlin. Up next, World Stories, the weekend reports. We'll have more headlines at the top of the hour. That's all from me and the team here in Berlin now. Stay tuned.